but be careful with who you believe. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 6. The leftist truly believes he is compassionate. Except toward the unborn, young adults, and children. With them things get a little murky. But I would ask, how does compassion for a certain people group elicit no revulsion for laying hold of the juvenile in that group for butchery and mutilation to gratify its collective identity or cause? It's becoming apparent, ever so gradually, that people are coming close to resisting, pushing back, on the continual assault on their peace of mind, their inner life as it might be called, against all that the leftist ideologues are pushing. In her abstract from Political Alienation and Societal Unease, Two Sides of the Same Coin, we read this by author and researcher, Dr. Ife Steenvoorden of the University of Amsterdam. Discontent with politics is high, political participation is low, and politicians meet with cynicism about their intentions. But does political alienation stand alone, or is it embedded in a broader sentiment of disaffection, societal unease? The answer should be obvious, but it's not. One thing is becoming increasingly apparent, since its publication 10 years ago. Steenvoorden's perceptions about societal unease may have possibly reached the tipping point, and this is not necessarily a bad thing. Across Western societies, a negative view on the state of society is often discussed. The French call it malaise, the Germans, Unbehagen, and the Dutch and Flemish, maatschappelijk Onbehagen, but they all but point to the same phenomenon, a discomfort with the direction society is heading. Just possibly, European peoples by now should be more accepting of social and cultural conditioning, perhaps owing to their long history of imperial rule and regime change, than Americans seem to be. But in places like Italy, for example, with the recent, surprising election and appointment of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, belie that notion. She is the leader of the Brothers of Italy, a national conservative and right-wing populist political party, and now the country's largest after the 2022 general election. Meloni is famous for her victory celebration speech in which she declared, "I am Giorgia, I'm a woman, I'm a mother, I'm a Christian." While it's much too soon to make reasonable predictions about Western civilization's future conservative trajectory, Italy could be a bellwether. Writing in the very leftist magazine, The New Yorker, Isaac Chotiner writes, Meloni, who has previously expressed admiration for Mussolini, ran a campaign based on anti-LGBTQ and anti-immigration themes, while promising continued support for Ukraine. She is likely to govern with two other right-wing leaders, Matteo Salvini, the Putin-admiring former interior minister, and Silvio Berlusconi, the Putin-admiring former prime minister. The contradictions found with Christianity and admiration for a former brutal fascist dictator, or a Soviet thug who savagely attacks Ukraine are difficult to understand, because they can't be explained from a purely political perspective. At this point, I think it's instructive to ponder something very instructional: why the Roman Empire was ultimately defeated. In simple terms, it was because of Christianity, not just political power change alone. Power is shifting again now, as it has many, many times down through the ages. Once again, the Western world is experiencing change, and the power structures in place are morphing into something the old guard is not well prepared to cope with, much less manage. Baby boomers have held the reins of power for two full generations. They are slowly fading away, weaker, both mentally and physically. In some ways, Mr. Biden is emblematic of this crucial point. The few political leaders remaining in their 70s will exit the world stage very soon now. Some will defy the odds, but all will have to address the grumblings by younger politicians to move on. Of course, even the younger wannabes will need to prepare for being in the receiving line as well. Personally, I think the real power play is going to come from somewhere else. Not nations and nation-states, not the leaders of the world, free or otherwise, but from an otherwise hidden, an extremely insidious cabal, the culturally ideological masterminds with concentrated wealth. I will have to confess, I don't feel terribly envious of the super rich. There have always been plenty of rich people getting even richer for a long time now, and I accept that. Besides, how many of us really dream of being super rich? I would be comfortable with being, well, comfortable. But, how much do any of us really know about the truly wealthy, and more importantly, those who control the world's money? We ought to, because these people have more control over us in some way or another than we know. All of us should be concerned about such people, and what they are doing with the power their wealth has afforded them. Right now, the leftist super-rich are pulling, tearing, and reweaving completely the fabric of society, all societies, everywhere. Many politicos have already become attenuated by the intellectual reconstruction of our culture by the very powerful, super-rich as they embrace wokeness, whatever that means at the moment, gender ideation, critical theories, critical justice, ESG, and more. Even now they are hatching further schemes to manipulate the people to conform to their idea of the way things ought to be. One of the most interesting, if not astonishing, insights I have ever heard recently about the rich and powerful comes from Andrew Clavin. Pictured, go to Rebel With Your Life, EP, 1120. It's very compelling. I think you should see and hear his what he is saying. He claims much of the intellectual fervor for transgenderism, which is a form of metamorphosis, has been proffered and articulated by a people group, all the while piteously injuring them, who fall within the spectrum disorder of autism. Yes, I was astonished at first too, but check out the link, Rebel With Your Life, and pick it up at 1421. Among the autistics, those with Asperger's asterisk can possess great intellect, and their disability compels them to arrange things and ideas, often in astonishing ways. According to Clavin, Professor Yuval Noah Harari, whose book, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, is such a man, Clavin has heard Harari speak, and identifies him as autistic, specifically with Asperger's. He attributes to him a lack of awareness of other people's inner life, by citing the following. Harari once said, "It's only the myths of our society that assign sapiens with a uterus. As he calls women, only women have a unique feminine role. Should they have this unique role if their inner lives are the same as everybody else, or if they don't have inner lives at all?" Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, along with many other important and very wealthy and influential people, both share something in common. They admire Harari very much, and they both have Asperger's. Christians, by the same token, the same people who brought an end of the Roman Empire, also have something in common. A love and fealty to Jesus Christ, and an intimate awareness and a love for one another's inner life. There is more to be said of this epical phenomenon, and I am committing to make every effort to share more of what I understand in the future. Keep this in mind though, while the enemy of our inner is very determined, God, who lives in us, vanquish him completely. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. Psalm chapter 62 verses 10 to 11. Photo by Marcus Spisky on Unsplash.